As we have learned so far, our genes in our every single individual cells are responding to the meaning and the need, right? And therefore, it is very important to give you what you have, your own sickness, a good meaning, the right meaning, right? It is very important. If you happen to give a wrong meaning to it, my, this is a really problem, right? Even though it can be a very small thing, but by giving the wrong meaning to it, and then it can be much bigger headache than it's supposed to be. Okay. And why am I sick? Why do I have a cancer? Why do I have this problem today? You know, there can be a lot of different kind of answer, right? And there's all kind of answer based on the fact or based on the truth. Okay. And most of the time, even though now we know the difference between the fact and truth, we still use a factual answer. Okay. Let me go to Bible. Okay. Say John. Chapter 9. Now, verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Okay, I'm a physician. And as soon as I read that, I find some fact, right? He was blind from birth. That means most likely sort of hereditary. And verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This is what sinners ask all the time, right? Whose fault it is? We are so much, programmed to find the fault, right? Whose fault? We are so eagerly to avoid responsibility, right? Yes. Whose fault it is? Who sinned? You know. And we are always trying to blame something and avoid responsibilities. This is our question. From the beginning, this question is a terrible question. Who sinned? See. And I was reading that, you know, in my mind, the answer already was there. You know, it was what? Who sinned? So clear, isn't it? It's nothing to do with his own sin, right? Excuse me. And it is. It's a parent's problem, right? So I thought Jesus is going to answer, well, it's parent, right? That's very rational, factual answer. And we are always confined in this fact, you know? We have no freedom to go beyond the fact and to really find the truth, right? Isn't it? So, if you begin to know who God is, then as I explained to you this afternoon, the God finally begin to give you the wisdom so you'll be able to find what? Truth, really. So, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Look at Jesus' answer carefully. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Totally different perspective, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter who sinned. That's not the focus. See? That's not the issue. The issue is what? Yeah. But that the works of God should be revealed in him. What a positive point of view, isn't it? Yeah? You're sick. You're blind. Why? Who sinned? And Jesus says, forget about sin. Okay? He's blind because what? So that the works of God should be revealed in him. Wow. Today you can ask, why do I have cancer? What Jesus' answer is? We're always busy to find fault or blame something, right? Is it my husband? Yeah. Is it me? Or my children, you know? Or my business? But Jesus' answer is, you have cancer because what? Because the works of God, yeah, the works of God should be revealed in you. Yes. Okay. Let me talk to you about cancer based on this tonight. Okay. And cancer is a very interesting disease. Because as you learned about autoimmune disease this morning, in that autoimmune disease, we found out it is the problem your T cell has, right? Your T cell has been altered. The character and the function of T cell is totally altered. You remember about that daughter-in-law who slapped her mother-in-law, right? You remember that little 12 years old girl, right? Who didn't want to play the piano, right? Yeah. See? So according to this need and what? Meaning that gene in the T cell can what? Change. Okay. And this T cell now, which was originally programmed to protect you, now this T cell is changed. Now this original program has been altered. Instead of protecting you, now what? Attacking you. See? Because genes changed. In cancer cell, it's the same thing. Cancer cell. Normally the cells function very productively to give you the life. But when this normal healthy cell become cancer cell, that means there's a lot of gene changes. Then this cell become cancer cell. Now this cell is not helpful at all, you know, for your body. It has its own what? Strange program is activated. It begin to behave so abnormally. Yeah. Let me show you the difference between normal healthy cell and the cancer cell. Okay. Normal healthy cell, when they come and meet together, okay, from here and from here, they come and they always communicate each other, you know. It is very interesting. It's really fascinating. When normal healthy cell come closer, closer. Then finally, they come into contact, surface to surface contact. Do you know what happened between these two cells? Very interesting thing happens. What happened is, this is one cell, nucleus, genes, and this is another cell. Come in contact. And there is a special gene here. This activates, and this is making some interesting protein structure called connexome. Connexome. It connects each other. So, you know, so this they form the tunnel here between two cells, and then they begin to share. If this cell has enough calcium, then its cell shares calcium to this cell, and if they have magnesium too much, then they give magnesium away. You know, very interesting. How do they know what to share, you know? It is only this is what God is doing. They don't know what magnesium is, you know, so on. But so every single cell is helping each other, sharing it one another, and trying to what? Make the other cell healthier. See? This is the life principle. You know, every cell has this character. But you know, once you become cancer cell, and the cancer cell has no function to do this. This function has been what? Gone. So they cannot connect each other. See? Very, very interesting. And so this is the way, by communication, they can really talk to each other. They say, okay, we will go underneath you. You can go over us. So this is how the cells forms very orderly layers. Layers and layers and layers. See? But what happened to the cancer cell? When cancer cells meet, they lost this kind of beautiful, orderly, loving, communicating quality. And then they say, they don't communicate, they say, we want to go over. Oh, no, we want to go. What happened? No orderliness. Therefore, there's no layer formation. Instead, it what? It forms, we call, mess. See, it's mess. So it forms, we call, tumor mess. It's irregular. There's no orderliness. You know. Yeah. So, the orderliness is a quality of God, really. Because that's the way God designed ourselves to function. See? So that's why in, I think it's 1 Corinthians, Paul says what? God is God of what? Order, yeah. When you say order, it's kind of what? We have a wrong kind of concept on order. Order means what? What kind of order is this? This is a forced order. No, God is not talking about this kind of order, okay? God is talking about order which is resulting from what? Love. Because we love one another, we naturally become what? Orderly. See? Isn't that wonderful, right? So this is the character of God. See? Yeah. So don't misunderstand God by saying, you know, God is God of order. Uh-uh. Because we do have a wrong concept of what? Order. So we need to watch out, right? Yeah. So cancer cell lost that quality. But there's one more quality is that the cancer cell, you know, cancer cell grow and thrive very well with nutritional balance is totally, you know, the like a food you supply for the cancer cell, it doesn't have to have what? Good nutritional balances. So if you lose nutritional balances in your everyday life, you're helping your cell to become what? Cancer cell. It is not going to make your normal healthy cell a cancer cell, okay? But again, by having nutritional imbalances in your everyday life, your normal healthy cell begin to feel what? Begin to feel the pressure to become what? Cancer cell. Okay. Because cancer cell can have much easier time what? Enjoying these nutritional imbalances. Normal healthy cell desires good nutritional balances. So that's why it is important to eat healthy to prevent cancer. But on this basis, on this principle, you know, there's so many, you know, it is so common, such a common concept on health is what? The pill concept, right? So you take one a day or whatever, you know, one a day or two a day or whatever, you know. We have the concept that you must take something, right? This is the pill concept, okay? Because we all become pill person, right? Yeah. Because as if what? As if you think you can achieve proper nutritional balance by your own what? Intellectual decision-making process. Is it possible? No. Our body is a whole lot more complex than that. See? This body requires what? The wisdom of God rather than knowledge of human beings. Right? But we have this 666 mentality, right? And as if we sort of feel that, yeah, we can control. You have to respect your body. You have to respect, you know, this kind of biological processes happening in your body. It's not that simple, right? It is far beyond what you can do about your body. It is what God is doing. It is what Creator is doing. See? So, so that's why you can give all this kind of what? Sort of indirect message for the cell to become a cancer cell. But the most critical message, critical damage which can be done for the cell, normal cell become cancer cell is usually we call carcinogen. Okay. Carcinogen means it is certain type of chemical which finally hit the what? Hit, as you saw the picture I showed you. superoxide radical is hitting the gene, right? Okay, so this is mitochondria. The sugar and oxygen came in and then produced superoxide radical. is finally what? Hitting the gene, right? Okay, let me show you a more detailed picture, which is right here, right? This is mitochondria, okay? This is mitochondria. And let me magnify. And this mitochondria is producing superoxide radical like this right here. It's being produced. And this. And it goes to gene, and this is what? This is basis, right? ATGC. Now this superoxide radical is hitting this G, right? Yeah. And then this G is what? G is broken, right? So, there are many different kind of carcinogen in our environment, right? It's coming. But the most influential, the most critical carcinogen is actually the superoxide radical. See? That's why, statistically speaking, everybody agrees that cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, right? But you know what? If you look into carefully, there are many examples that some people smoke very heavily, but they don't what? Have lung cancer. But also the other way around. Don't smoke very much, but have what? Lung cancer. See? Why? See, lung cancer is not completely, totally depend upon cigarette smoking alone, right? It's based on this superoxide radical production. Okay. If you happen to be a cigarette smoker, then you produce a lot of superoxide radical. Then, yes. But even though you are a heavy smoker, but you don't really produce as much superoxide radical as that person. Because you are a lot more happier person. Even though you have a bad, what? Smoking habit, you can be more protected. See? So, there is a happy smoker, right? Whenever he smokes, he thinks about something good. Wow, you know. Yeah. I'm not recommending this, you know, but you know. Then the other person, whenever he smokes, whenever he begins to smoke, he begins to think something so bad, you know. I hate him, you know, something like this. So then, while he's smoking, he is producing what? More superoxide radical. That kind of people get more damage to the genes, right? So, once you have this gene damage, you know, we constantly have these gene damages, every moment actually, you know. But, praise the Lord, God already what? God already have the special programs built in to repair this breakage. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So, let me show you this picture. This is amazing. Okay. This is DNA, right? And this is Korean. Actually, what it says is DNA repair, okay? DNA repair process. Okay. So this is two lines here. And here's all different kinds of what? A basis, right? And superoxide radical came and hit right here. And this guy is what? This is disassembled, right? The puzzle is disassembled, right? And then also you can see this, this yellow adenine is broken. See? Now you can see three different guys. Here's a fireman guy, this repairman guy, look like an electrician who came today. Yeah. And this is, what do you call, this guy is finalized, okay, everything. So these three different guys, and these five guys always going around Gene, and you know what, and always check out, is there anything wrong with the genes, you know. Any problem with any component of DNA? Okay, then he found, this is damaged. Okay, yeah. Then what he does is, as soon as he finds the damage, look at this. Okay, what is he doing? He eat them up. Okay. Yeah. Then he calls this repair guy. And repair guy brings some tools and what? New parts. Yeah. Yeah. And then he fixes. Yeah. And then this last, you know, guy comes over and he what? He finalizes things. So these guys, this is sort of cartoon figure, but actually all these three guys are real protein, which is produced by certain genes. So God, when God created us, when God created gene and the cells, he and us, we human being, he, in a way, he already what? Knew. He already knew this kind of thing going to happen. So that's why he already had what? Prepared this program to repair this damaged gene. Isn't this what we can say amen, but in a way it's sort of silly, isn't it? How come he... That means he knew that we are going to sin, right? We are going to be under the stress. We are going to have what? Damaged gene, right? Did he know? Did he know when he created us that we are going to sin? Did he? Did he know? Yeah, he knows everything. Then why did he create us? If he already knew that we are going to sin, we're going to leave him. What do you mean, love?
That the glory of God may be revealed.
Well, love is the right answer, but I need a little bit more explanation. Yeah. Yeah. What love has anything to do with creating a human being who is going to sin? You know why? That's real love. You know, for us, that kind of question sounds reasonable. Why someone creates someone else, right? Why you create this guy even though you know he is going to sin and turn against you? So among us, it is a rational question. But, you know, to God, it is totally irrational question. It's because God is love. Since he is love, that's why he create someone who is going to sin and turn against him, even though he knew it. When you don't have love, you don't want to create that kind of being, you know, who's going to turn against you. If you already have that foreknowledge, right? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, why God knows? Of course, God is omniscient God, but that's very sort of the theological, you know, kind of explanation. But why God does know that we are going to sin? First of all, is there any evidence in the Bible that he knew? He knew when he was going to create?
Well, he had the plan of salvation right before.
Okay. Let's look at this. So, that's right. He already had his what? Plan of salvation, right? Even before the creation of the world. Okay. But this is very nice. Ephesians. Just as he chose us in him before the what? Foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Look at it. Without blame. Okay? That we should be holy and without blame. So he sort of knew that there will be some kind of blame, right? So he's going to clean up that blame, right? So that means he knew that we are going to what? Sin. It is wonderful for you to know, for us to know, that God created, even though he knew we're going to have some blame, right? We're going to sin. That means how much he wanted to create. Even though we're going to sin, he still what? Wanted to go ahead to create. Why? Why? Because he is love. Because he is love. You know why God, who is love, wants to create so much? What is the purpose of creation anyway? Why God created? Why? You know, it's because God is love. Why then? Why, when God is love, he wants to create? That's right. When God is love, the basic principle quality of the love is what? Giving, isn't it? When he is love, and there's no one to give his love, that love is meaningless. Yeah. So he doesn't even need to be existing. So for him to what? To be meaningful, to exist, he had to create. So creation is in a way what? Totally, voluntarily, he had to create because he is love and he had to give his love to somebody, right? He could not exist all by himself when he is love. You know, he said, I am God of love. I don't want to create anybody. Do you think it makes sense? No. So creation is his what? Natural instinctive desire as a God who is love. You got the point? You know, this is very, very important point. When you know this, then finally you know what creator really means. See? So, when the first angel's message in Revelation chapter 14 says what? Worship him who is what? Who created everything. So, please worship God who is the creator. That's the first angel's message, right? And give him the what? Glory. Yeah. We've been giving the glory to our knowledge. Okay. Now is the time for us to give glory to his what? Wisdom. He is the creator. See? So, behold the Creator, or worship the Creator means what? Please know how much he loved you. It's the same meaning. See? Same meaning. Yeah. I see the key theme of the book of Revelation is what? Knowing God as what? Creator. That already includes what? Automatically, it includes what? Knowing God, how much He loves you. See? It's the same meaning. Because that's why He what? He created us. See? So that's why creation itself already what? Has built-in meaning that He is love. He is dying and dying to give. The overflowing love He has. He needs to summon to give love. Right? Yes. That's why He created us. You know, that's why He already, even before the creation, He did not want to lose anyone, right? He created. So that's why, in case the creature sins, He need to what? Prepare beforehand the plan of what? Salvation. What a love, right? You know, by creating human being, it was so risky for Him. You know, by creating we human being, He risked His own existence. You know that? Yes. So that's why salvation is His desire, it's not our desire. You know that? Yeah. You can see. He needs to save us, right? Because He created us to love us, to give us love. So He does not want to lose any one of us who can give His love to, right? Yeah. So on this kind of quality of God, the God being a creator, we can have what? We can have peace of mind. See? Can you see the point? Because He has to save me. Why? Because He created me for me or for Him? For Him. That's right. For Him. Yeah. He created you for Him. I don't know. For Him. Do you see that in the Bible? Okay, let's look at the Colossians. Colossians 1:16. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and what? For Him. For Him. This is what it means. For Him means what? For Him means for Him to give us love. That's what it means. Because Him being love, God of love, so His most joyful thing He wants to do is what? Giving. Giving love. That's His instinct. You know what is the most painful thing for Him is? What is the most painful thing for Him? This is the giving love He has so much is the most joyful thing He does. But what is the most painful thing? What is the other way around? That's right. If you refuse to receive His love, that's when He was so feeling bad. You know, God never voluntarily withdraw His love. You know, God is always being refused. I want you to remember that. See, when we refuse, He cannot force His love upon us. That's what His frustration is. You know what? That's the wrath of God. When God is in wrath, when? When he is refused. See, last night we found out the difference between vengeance, right? Avenge between us and God, right? The sinful vengeance, sinful avenge is what? Killing, hurting the other party. But God's avenge was, what was God's avenge? Forgive and save him. See? Yeah, we saw that last night. Now, do you remember the Roman chapter 12, verse 19? Okay. Vengeance is mine, right? So, to avenge your enemy, what was God's request for us to do? Give what? Give a place to his what? Wrath. Right? Let God's wrath take care of your enemy. Then it says what? If your enemy is hungry, what? Feed him. Yeah. Hmm? Pardon me? That's right, give him a drink. Yeah. So, giving my enemy in the hands of God's wrath means what? Love him, right? Yes. See, all this biblical vocabulary is holy. Right? We read that holy biblical vocabulary in very sinful way. You know? So, when Bible says wrath of God, then we apply the definition, the meaning of wrath, same meaning I have and you have. Isn't that terrible? See? Then we are afraid of that God. Why? Because we are afraid of ourselves, right? Yeah. Wrath, the anger of God means God's what? God's frustration because he's being refused. Therefore, he cannot, what? Do something he enjoys most. See? He cannot give love he wants to give, but sinner refuses. When sinner refuses, what happened to sinner? Sinner is dying. And God has to watch him die. Even though he has life to give him. But he can't. Wow, what a frustration, right? That is anger of God. That is wrath of God. See? Yeah. That's why where sin abounds, grace what? Abounds much more. Yes. There's more grace to give, but sinner is still what? Still refusing. As he refuses more, further, his grace what? Accumulate more. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. See? Right? That abounding grace, which is unable to be given, is wrath of God. You got that point? Yes. This is the character of God. See? This is the character of God. Yeah. So God created you to give his what? Love. But he had foreknowledge that you might what? Refuse. Yeah. Refuse. You know why? Why his creature sinned? Beginning with Lucifer, right? Why? Is there any defect in creature? Yeah. But I could say this way. God is perfect. But I don't want to apply the word perfect to the creature. Right? Then we begin to have some problem with the word perfection, right? God is the perfect one. When the perfect creature create a creature, then that creature must be what? perfect?
Yeah.
No. No. If creature is perfect, then that perfect creature is same as what? Same as God. Yeah. The creature will never sin. Isn't that creature perfect? Is it fun to create that kind of being? When the whole purpose of creation was what? Giving the love. Therefore, the creature must not be that perfect, right? Creature can only be perfect when this creature is receiving what? Love. So that creature is very imperfect, which requires what? God's love. So I want to put it this way. God is perfect, but the creature is a complete one. Yet, the complete creature needed what? Needed love to be considered as what? Perfect. Yeah. So that's why we sinner can only be considered, accounted as what? Perfect, as we receive what? The righteousness of Jesus, right? Yeah. That's what it says. Yeah. And so, the creature cannot be as perfect as what? God, right? Uh-uh. No way. That's why creature can what? Sin. God cannot. I don't think it is fun to create a perfect being, you know. Then that means what? God is creating another God. And that creature says, I am perfect, I don't need you, you know. Right? What's the purpose of creating, right? Yeah.
Okay. So we are made perfect in Him.
With His love.
With His love.
Received. 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 Right? Yes. So, so that's why God already knew this imperfect creature can what? Can sin. So, this creation was very risky. In case this creature sins, it requires what? That he need to pay all the price. That means what? He need to be prepared to be on the cross. Wow. Creation requires his own what? His own son to die on the cross. You know, yet he went ahead and what? Created us. We are that kind of being. You know that? We are extremely, extremely what? Important being. Yes. If you understand your salvation based on creation, then you can really understand your salvation. Your salvation is not based on what? Your own good deed, right? Amen. Your salvation is totally dependent upon His desire to save you. Amen. When you ignore His desire, then you will put your own effort to be saved, right? That's what? That's really ignoring Him as a creator. You understand? Yeah. See? Yeah. When you're trying to be saved, that means what? You're not creator. That's what you're actually saying. Yeah. So, so understanding this entire creation really shapes, right? The righteousness by faith, right? Isn't that wonderful? And yes. So, now you understand His wrath, right? And God want to control every single gene in your cells. And you say, I don't need it. What does it mean? I want to die, right? You and I have no relationship. I'm not your creature. You know, Satan really hated this idea of what? Of God being creator. When Satan want to be, when Lucifer want to be equal, the worst thing is what? Thinking about God as a creator, right? Because you can never be equal. The creature can never be equal with what? Creator, right? So do you know why? Do you know what Satan did? Lucifer did? To be equal with him? He created new theory called dualism. What is dualism? And he said, there is a soul which has nothing to do with what? Creator's creation. The soul you have in your body has been what? Existing from when? Eternity. And it will keep on existing what? To eternity. What does that mean? You actually have your soul, which was not created by God. See? Dualism is very, very bad. You know that? Yeah. See, saying that I have soul which has been existing from eternity, that means what? In fact, you're denying the creation. That's what, I'm not created. That's what you're saying. A lot of Christians don't understand this. See? This is what Satan created this, or Lucifer created the theory and gave it to the what? The philosophers in the Greek, right? So he made the Greek a huge empire, right? And then this Greek philosophy, Roman is after all what? It's Greece, isn't it? Yeah. So the Roman, conquered the whole world, but they inherit Greek philosophy. See, that's how Satan wanted to match with what? Creator God. That's why we have a three angels message. Saying what? Worship the what? Creator. See? What is the whole book of Revelation really is, right? It's that. That is a key point of the great controversy. Yeah. So Lucifer wants to share what? Eternal quality. Is the creator is the only one who has to have eternal quality, right? Yeah. And eternity belongs to God, but Lucifer wants to have that share. And so Lucifer begins to teach, you were existing from eternity to eternity. I was existing, what? From eternity to eternity. He says, God was existing from eternity to eternity. Everybody is equal. There's no creator. Isn't that clear? Yeah. That's why it is very dangerous to what? To say when you die, your soul goes to what? Heaven or hell, and which is eternally being tortured. See? That already means what? It's we're not created. We've been existing from eternity. Yeah. This is poison, you know that? It is a very, very important concept. Okay. Yeah. Don't just say, so that's why what the soul immortality, right? You know what soul immortality means? Immortality means we never been created. That's what it means. Yeah. See, that's why direct what? Direct challenge against creator. That is soul immortality theory. Okay. So I want you to know that. Yes. It is very, very serious challenge. Okay. So now, since we're beginning to talk about creation, from the beginning, it is very important to understand why do you think Lucifer rebelled against God? we learn today that how Adam and Eve sinned on the Garden of Eden, right? What was their sin? What was their sin? That's right. God said, please enjoy, receive the wisdom and enjoy the wisdom, right? And live. If you turn your back against the wisdom and what? Begin to worship the knowledge, you're going to die, right? That's the truth. You know? What was Lucifer's sin? It's the same sin, you know. Because Lucifer allured Adam and Eve to do the same thing he did. Yeah. Why? Why Lucifer sinned? I was always questioning that, you know. Because I could not comprehend how Lucifer can sin, right? It was really bothering me all the time. You know, just because he was jealous of Jesus, you know, you know, I had a problem, you know. Yeah. And I have to know why he was jealous, right? Yeah. You can't just say he was jealous, you know. So I really struggled with this for a long time because it didn't quite make sense yet to me. But finally, I think I figured out. Well, let me give you an explanation. Okay. Lucifer is the angel, okay, archangel receiving what? All the light, which means what? Wisdom, right? All the love and all the knowledge God has, plus what? All the spark God has, right? To reflect that to the other angels and human being, okay? And when Lucifer received this huge, wonderful what? Wisdom of God. In that wisdom, there is what? Knowledge plus what? A love. Spark, okay? And he looked at the knowledge. Wow! And Lucifer is a very bright angel, right? He could what? He could comprehend and master all this knowledge part, which we are mastering today, right? Yeah. We are mastering knowledge, aren't we, right? And Lucifer felt what? If he masters all this knowledge, he can, this is good enough to control what? Everything in this world. That's what we people think today. Aren't we, right? If you know everything. You know what doctors are saying nowadays? If we come to the knowledge, complete knowledge of the gene, we can heal what? Any diseases. This is what Lucifer thought. Still, Lucifer is what? Putting that kind of same thought into our brain, and we think that way. We don't need God. Only thing we need is what? Complete knowledge. Then we can conquer the disease. Do we need God? We need knowledge, right? This is a six mentality. Okay? Yeah. This is it. And then Lucifer thought, okay, he figured out what? He could what? Master this what? Knowledge part, right? Then he look at the love. What is this? He look at the love. He found the problem. Why? Because this love is what? Unconditional love, right? Forgives anything, right? Love is long-suffering. Love is... Wow! According to Lucifer's concept, you know, wow, what's going to happen to the universe then? If somebody make mistake, right? This kind of love cannot control the universe, right? Anybody can think that, you know that? Only God knew this is the only way to govern the universe. Today we are beginning to learn about this, right? But Lucifer never have any experience. He is a mere what? a creature. He could not comprehend that. See? So he thought about, what if somebody rebelled against God? Then God is going to what? Forgive. So somebody else rebel. He forgive. 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 Isn't that logical, right? Yeah, it's a sign. It's a fact, right? So Lucifer, no. So he went to God, you know, he pointed out the problem. You know, if, oh God, if you keep on forgiving, what's going to happen? You cannot rule the universe. It's going to be what? Chaotic. Lucifer had a genuine what? Concern in God's government. Really? Lucifer said, oh God, I need to survive, right? I want to be happy in this universe. But if you apply this love principle here, unconditional love principle, you know, we're going to collapse soon. God says, trust me, Lucifer. This is the only way to govern the universe. Lucifer cannot have a confidence, right? Because Lucifer thought about this. What if he rebelled against the God? You know? And God, he thought, God need to know. God, it looked like God is thinking, what? Nobody ever gonna what? Rebel against him. So therefore, God will never learn the lesson. So Lucifer thought, I think I need to be the one, right? Who need to teach God a lesson. You know? So what if I rebel against him? Then he will what? What is he gonna do? He's going to forgive me. So what to lose? He is going to keep on forgiving me. So I do more damage, more damage, more damage. Then he is going to what? Forgive and forgive and forgive. And you know what Lucifer's thought was? If he can no longer stand that anymore, then he will do what? What Lucifer originally suggested. Gonna have to what? Punish and destroy. When he come to that point, that means whose victory? Lucifer's victory. Lucifer now proved that he was what? Better than God. He already anticipated this. You know? Look, now God is finally what? Adopting Lucifer's what? Policy. Look so stupid after having what, such a damage, right? Finally God changed his mind. I guess Lucifer was right. Then it was so clear for the Lucifer, all the angels and human beings will follow whom? Follow Lucifer. Because they found out Lucifer was better. See, Lucifer thought there's nothing to what? Lose. So, he is doing this for what? In a way for God, in a way for all the universe, really. Wow. How about this? You know? Now, I think that's why Lucifer is doing this with a good cause. According to his own concept of what? Justice. Justice. So his, Lucifer's justice is what? When somebody is doing bad thing, what is his justice? Cut him off. Get rid of him. You know. Don't ever think this is justice of God. Okay? What is justice of God? If a creature sins, instead of getting rid of them, what? Forgive him. Then he will pay the price. That's justice of God. Right? So justice of God has been revealed on the what? On the cross. So on the cross, the mercy has been revealed, and at the same time, justice of God is revealed. That's why mercy and justice kissed on the cross. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yes. So this is how this happened. So, now, when we don't know this, then we have a lot of question here, you know. Then when this question is not never settled, your faith is always what? Having shaking foundation. And you now have to know that we are created for what? For God. That's why His plan of salvation is not for really us. For whom? For Him. So, that's why we have peace of mind, right? Yes, you will save me for you. That we call faith. See, you will save me for whom? For you, Father. In this entire process, we begin to learn the wonderful love of God. See? Yes. Then, right? Yeah. Then finally, when we finally learn this wonderful love of God in these painful processes, you know, then we learn this unconditional love is the only way to govern this universe.
Amen.
See? Yes. Okay, now, the question. Why then the wicked finally dies, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't the justice of God?
Not his love.
Yeah? Okay. Why they die then? Okay. This is very important issue. So that's why, because we don't understand this final death, final destruction, right? We call it second death. Since we don't understand the second death, why the second death happens, we call what justice of God and justice of Satan is confused. See? God destroys anyway, you know. What is second death? Why the second death, the destruction of the wicked, finally happens? You know? And I learned this from 10 plagues in Egypt, really. See? Like you already learned, right? Learned. God is in the business of maintaining what? Ecological balances, right? By controlling the genes. Now God controls the fruit flies, right? God controls the fishes. God controls everything to maintain most optimal what? Ecological balances. Do you know what plague is? Plague is when God what? Take his hand off. Then it's disaster. God does not create disaster. When sinner refuse God, then for this powerful refusal, God have to what? Withdraw his protecting hand. Then disaster happens. See? Withdrawal of this loving touch is something God hates most to do. See? It is God's instinct to what? To keep on giving love. See? Now you know what is the 10 plagues? You know, the 10 plagues are very interesting. Like when God sent his people to Egypt, what was the purpose for that? He wanted to save Egyptians, right? He wanted to have Egyptians to know there is a creator. In fact, the God of Israel is what? God of Egypt too. That's what he wanted them to know. So Egyptians can open their heart wide. Oh, Father, now we found you. You know, then we can all what? Rejoice together. That was the entire purpose of God sending his people into Egypt. But unfortunately, it went wrong. His people are becoming what? Egyptians, like worse than Egyptians, you know. Totally corrupt. Now God become desperate. If he leave his people in Egypt any longer, what's going to happen? He's going to lose entire, you know, Israelites. So God what? Has to what? Take them out of Egypt in desperation. See? So he need to do that. There's no other choice, right? He need to take them out, send them to somewhere else. Then he need to what? Educate them again. See? To save them. See, God is, God's work is always what? Salvation, right? Yes. So when he was trying to, what, get them out of Egypt, Pharaoh says, no. This is a big problem. Big problem. See? Now, God is using this opportunity to what? To really let Pharaoh know that he is Creator God. So what can you do? So Pharaoh will only let the people, Israelite people, God's people go only what? When he what? When he acknowledges God of Israel is what? As a creator. Yeah. That's the only way. That's the only option. So God has to now let Pharaoh know he is the what? Creator. So if he finds out he's the creator, Pharaoh will become a Christian, right? For God's people. So, what a blessing is that for whom? For Pharaoh. To know God, right? So, entire purpose of 10 plague is what? For the Pharaoh and his people know who God is. See? In that process, the plague happens. So purpose of plague is what? For them to know who God is. So, you can see this here. In Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9:14, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me on all earth. What is the purpose of plague? I want you to know who I am. There's none like me. If you understand this statement, this verse, this way. Okay, Pharaoh, you're not going to listen to me? You're not going to send my people away? Okay? Then I'll give you a lesson. You're going to see, you know, how strong I am. I'm going to punish you. This is the way we have been understanding. It doesn't mean this. God is what? Trying to show Pharaoh that he also created Pharaoh too, right? And he loves Pharaoh too. And in fact, he has been loving Pharaoh and all Egypt. Isn't that the truth, right? He was. He was taking care of everything with Pharaoh and Egypt. And Pharaoh says what? I don't know about that. I think we exist ourselves, right? Without you, right? And in fact, I'm the God, Pharaoh says. What a pity, right? God is eager for the Pharaoh to know he has the Creator. What a wonderful love, right? He wants to what? Embrace Pharaoh. Pharaoh coming back to him just like what? Prodigal son coming back to father. You know? He wants that happen to Pharaoh. So God has to let him know that he is the Creator. So what God can do? He has to show. He has been all this long time, thousands of years, God was taking care of what? Egypt. So the first thing, he has to show that since River Nile, water in the River Nile is so important for the Egyptians, right? He wanted to show them that what? He was taking care of ecosystem of the river water, all the microorganisms to be in balance. That's how what? It keeps water clear, clean, drinkable. See? So God, you know, it is the most painful thing to do. God took his what? His protecting hand off from the River Nile. He did not really want to do. He wishes there is another way, right? Different way to let him know he is the Creator, but there's no other way. So, with the pain in his heart, right? God took his hand off River Nile, and River Nile goes, all the microorganisms, you know, exploding, and the water quality is terrible. Water is like a, you know, blood. And Pharaoh, look at water. Wow. And Holy Spirit is what? Speaking to him, yes, yes, Yahweh is God. You know. Devil says what? No, you can do the same thing. It doesn't mean that he is God. So Pharaoh says, call my magicians. Can you do the same thing? Magician says, no problem. And God permitted magicians to do the same trick. Yeah. Pharaoh says, huh, you're not Creator. You know what is the same thing happening today? God is allowing what? Cloning to be done. This is what's exactly happening today. We are living at the beginning of the 10 plagues. Really? The last plagues. Where we are really beginning to taste the foretaste. God allows that. Why? Do you know why God allows that? Okay, go ahead and clone. Do you have any benefit from it? Only thing we have is what? This is a moral confusion. Ethical confusion, right? It even causes moral decay, right? The result is terrible. So, for them to make water, clear water to blood, right? Did they have any benefit from it? No. So God allows that. See? You're trying to what? Compete with me and you lose, right? Do it, you lose. Then frog. Okay. And magicians made what? Frog. God allowed three tricks. What was it? Snake, right? Water and frog. See, God allowed three times of rebellion. This is what it means, the unclean spirit like what? Frog means. The spirit like frog means what? This. The frog was third, right? Third rebellion against God. See? So it is unclean spirit like frog means what? rebelling spirit, just like a Pharaoh had. That's what it means. See? So interesting, you know. When you study, it is so fascinating, you know. And from that point on, see, as God removing his hand, and the Pharaoh says, nope, no. Wow. It is a really problem with God, see? You know, when God removes his hand, it is very painful for whom? For God. Because God is going against his what? His instinct, his love instinct. It is the most difficult thing he can do. But his purpose was what? For Pharaoh to know that he is Pharaoh's God too. He's been loving Pharaoh for a long time. See? So, that it means. And you may know that there is none like, what? Me. See? Yeah. It is the same thing. It is. Let me put it a little bit, put it a different way for you to understand a little bit easier. Okay? And I'm a wealthy doctor. Okay? And I met this two couple. And I found I liked them, you know. They are really good people. And I wanted them to become Adventists someday in the future. So I already begin to what? To invest. You know. So I secretly send them 2,000 every month. So at the very first beginning, and they, when they opened, they found what? An envelope has 2,000 bucks. And they said, what is this? Who sent us money? Huh. The next month, they found it again. Wow! Who is doing this to us? 6 months, still, wow! 2 years passed. Now they're expecting. You know, they no longer ask who is sending, right? 2,000 bucks is theirs now. You know. 10 years passed. I was keep on sending $2,000 to Chance, okay? Then one day Patty came to me saying, Dr. Lee, Chance are going to be joining to Mooney's. I said, what? That's a big problem. And Patty told me, Dr. Lee, you go, you have to go and persuade them because they know you and they respect you. They listen to you. Do you think they're going to listen to me? So, okay, Patty, then why don't you go to Chance again and to tell them that to tell Irma that it was Dr. Sangni who was sending 2,000 bucks every month for the past 10 years. I thought then Chance would listen to me, right? So Patty went to Irma and said, Irma said, really? I can't believe that. Are you sure Dr. Sangni was sending? So Irma went to George and, George, honey, you know, Patty said Dr. Sangni was sending money for 10 years. George said, oh, come on, I can't believe that, you know. That's a lie. And Irma called Patty. George does not believe it. And I don't believe it either. Then Patty come to me and say, Dr. Lee, they don't believe that. Ooh, it's a big problem, right? I'm going to have to stop these guys going to Mooney's, right? They're going to destruction. I have to stop. And I have to persuade them. But they don't want to listen to me. They say, we have nothing to do with Dr. Sangli. And I have to let them know. It was I, Dr. Sangli, been what? Taking care of their finances. Right? They have to know now. Right? Time came. There's no choice. I have to reveal myself to them because they are walking into the what? Destruction. I have to stop that. So I said, Patty, what can I do to let them know? So Patty always has a good idea, you know. Patty said, Dr. Lee, I have a good idea. You can withhold 10%. So next month, send $1,800 instead of $2,000. Then I'll go and tell them that you'll receive what? Only $1,800 next month. Then they will know, right? It was really Sang Lee. So Patty went that, okay, you're going to receive a check tomorrow in your mailbox, but it'll be what? Only $1,800. George says, ha, joke. You know. So next day, George went to mailbox and the same envelope, opened, $1,800. Shouldn't George believe Patty, you know, that Sang Lee was sending the money, right? But devil says, no. So, what else? Next step is what? $1,600. You know, this is what's happening. See, 10 times, right? At the end, what? It was zero. No life. You die, right? When you refuse God's love, you die. By your refusal, right? Yeah. So, Pharaoh already tasted that death by what? Death of the firstborn. You know what? After ninth, the plague of the darkness, when God removed his hand, it became dark. But only the area what Israelites was living, the Goshen, right? There's light. That means what? At Goshen, God did not remove his hand. So God wanted to show the contrast. See, don't you believe I am your God too, Pharaoh? See? Look at Goshen. If I don't remove, they still have light. See? And Pharaoh said what? To Moses, if you come back to me again, I'm going to kill you. You know what that means? The sinner's final refusal for the what? For the intercession. Intercession ends not because of timetable, okay? Intercession ends because what? The sinners refuse. No more intercession. We don't need it. When finally the sinner refuses intercession, the high priest Jesus will come out of the sanctuary with the tears in his eyes. See? Right? And then intercession is over. Okay? Then last plague. Okay. And Pharaoh says, you can go, you know, but still, I don't believe in Yahweh as a creator. Right? So Moses took his people. And God is now separating the Red Sea. Why God lead his people to the Red Sea and separate water? Why? What is God trying to show? God says, I'm this strong. You know what it is? He wants to reveal himself to his people that he is what? He's a creator. Why? What is the separation of the water of the Red Sea has anything to do with revealing himself as a creator? Because when you study the creation, God created earth by what? He began by what? Separating water. See? Water above and water below, right? In between water, God created. So, separation of the water means that I am what? Creator. It's a symbolic, the most powerful symbol, symbolic action that he reveals himself what? Creator. So, you know, separating Red Sea is no problem when he is a creator, right? Why? Because he created huge mass water, you know, which is 10,000 times bigger than Red Sea, right? So, when Red Sea was separating, and the people of God said, wow, he is, our God is what? Creator. Yes. And they, as they are going through, you know, in between the wall of water, they praised God. Yes, we worship you. You are the creator. Pharaoh came. See? With his soldiers. And he saw water is separated. Then Holy Spirit is whispering into Pharaoh's ear, what? My dear Pharaoh, don't you see I am the creator? I do separate water. You know? Didn't you hear about this? Pharaoh said, yeah, I read about that. Many Hebrews told me that, right? Then suddenly, Satan came to him, said what? No. This is just what? Coincidental natural phenomenon. Pharaoh was, he was what? He was in the final choice. Unfortunately, Pharaoh chose this side. Yes, this is natural phenomenon. He turned around, he said what? Go and kill him! See? It is what? Final defiance against. He totally refused. After having what? That firstborn death, right? Experience, which gave God most pain, terrible pain. And then he still refuses. And he says, go and kill him. He says, there is no creator who separates water. This is what? Simply a natural phenomenon. Wow, God is completely refused. Do you know why he separated water? To show even Pharaoh that he is what? He's a creator. And can God separate water to protect Pharaoh? He can't. Why he can't? First of all, it's not a justice. When you refuse it, you cannot what? Force the water be separated, right? You cannot. That. It's unjust. At same time, if you leave him alone, what's going to happen? If God keep on having what? This water separate, what's going to happen? To his people? Going to be killed. God's hand is completely tied. With the tears in his eye, with the pain here, God took his hand off. You know, what is God doing now? Watching Pharaoh's dying in the water, he cries. Why he cries? He's losing Pharaoh. Right? And do you know why I know he cries? Why I know God cries? It is just like what? The death of Absalom. See? Absalom was coming told David to kill his father. And yet David says what? Don't kill him. Don't kill him. Capture him alive. See? This is what God's character is. But finally, you know, Absalom is dead. He cries. That's why I'm saying God was crying over the Pharaoh's death. See? And as Pharaoh looked at the water pouring down upon his head, then he finally realizes what? God is a creator. Yes. God is a creator. He was wrong. It wasn't a natural phenomenon. Right? You know what? I guess? Finally, that means Pharaoh's second death. Okay? The first death was what? The firstborn death. Symbolically speaking, right? Then second death. This is Pharaoh's final, what? Symbolic second death, okay? And when he sees God is crying over his death, then finally Pharaoh is experiencing that what? God is indeed what? Creator, right? That he saw that. You know, but in real death of the real second death, these wicked people now experiencing second death, only Jesus was the one who experienced what? Second death on the cross, right? But now they are the one who experience it. Now they're experiencing how painful it is, the eternal separation from God, you know? Then suddenly they realize that Jesus, who is crying over them, has already experienced second death for them, not to have this experience which they are experiencing now. Then they realize how loving Father he is. Oh Jesus, you are God. You know? But it was too late. Jesus crying over, "Goodbye, my children." And they say, "Goodbye, our Father. You are the Creator." And you know why I guess this way? On what basis? You know what? Okay, they die. The wicked dies. Wicked perish. But you know what? The heart was converted, right? The heart finally acknowledged what? God is Creator. See? And I know all the wicked will say, "Goodbye, Father. You are the Creator. You are God of love." And God will say, "Goodbye, my children." And he'll cry and cry. That's why Ellen White says what? There's not a single soul will perish in what? Despair, right? Yeah. And the Paul says what? Love never what? No, never fails. I always could not understand why Paul said love never fails. Why? Because there's wicked dies, love fails, right? But then I finally realized, even those wicked, as they perish, they praise the Lord. See? Love, his love never failed. And this love will be forever upon the universe, right? And we will be living under that kind of wonderful love of God. See? Amen. See? So this is from the what? Creation and rebellion to the end. Plague. Wonderful plague. The most painful expression of love of God. See? Now, don't you think now Bible look different, right? Yeah. Yes. Wow. This is really book of love, right? Book of love, therefore it is a book of life. So, when you have a cancer cell in your body. This kind of love will reconvert, right? Your cancer cell back to normal.
Amen.
Right? Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Shall we sing God is so good? God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Dear loving God, Father, how painful you are. As you are keep on interceding in the most holy place today, in this time of the final intercession, the Day of Atonement, Father, let us look at ourselves. What are we really doing? Oh, Father, you are going to intercede until this wicked refuse completely. How painful you are going to be when you have that final refusal. And you are anticipating all the pain, even at the second death. But you know, your love will never fail. Father, let us understand this unfailing love of yours. And let us really understand your true character. As Ellen White said, Father, the time at the end time, the darkness is coming due to the misunderstanding of your character. And also Laodicean Church. We know everything, but you are outside the door. That means we do not have a comprehension of your true character, even though we know all the doctrine and theology. Oh, Father, we all know the knowledge. We all have a fact. We need your love. We need your real spark. We need life. Father, let us open this door for you so you can come in. And finally, we are sparked. In Jesus' name, amen.